Blog Talk Radio.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network, and we're always open with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, and have your will, have your way. Lord, we thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. We ask you, the Lord, to continue the blessings that you pour upon us, all unmerited, some unknown, unseen, forthcoming, and have come. Dear Lord, just thank you for another day. As another day clothed in a right mind. Let your way be our way. For your God all by yourself. As you who made us, not ourselves. That's my family here on the panel. My family here in New York. My family in Virginia. And my beloved family in Brazil. And more importantly, Lord, we just thank you. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. And I thought, fuck him on the air, and how we say that part in prayer. For little things we largely take for granted, and yet I was listening to the news, and, you know, we are so much not conscious. You know, death comes every day, but we're not aware of it until it comes our way, you know? And I'd heard this story, and this couple, 21 years old, and, you know, I think about somebody like Jesse who's like 221 years old, and I just, you know, really think about how when we Doc Stanley Sports and Depth on the Blog Talk Radio Network, Trust in God Radio Network. It is Doc Stanley on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Hoping Big C will join us, maybe say hello. Finally, the phantom that he is. 646-200-0373. For those of you who want to call him, 646-200-0373. Big C lives, and maybe he will shock us tonight with a small call right here on Sports in Depth. On Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. 646-200-0373. Big C may shock us, gang. We will be shocked. And I'm just thinking tonight, too. And a couple, 21 years old, on the way to the hospital to have their first child. They were in a car accident. They were killed. The mother was thrown from the car. And first not seen by the on-scene first arrivals, but they did happen to see her, took her to the hospital, and she had the baby prematurely. Here's a baby who lost both of their parents. And then there was a story that followed about the little boy, 6 years old, on his way to school, holding his brother's hand. And he got run over by a tractor trailer. Supposedly the crossing guard had originally said that they were had taken a bathroom break, and now a bathroom break. And now it seems that maybe they were AWOL. But it's just the little things we so largely take for granted. Walking Roscoe, picking up the telephone, getting a glass of water, the little things we so largely take for granted. And here, by the grace of God, the panel, we are just thankful to God to be here again and send our condolences out to these families. Just something, you know. And Dusty and I, who are civil servants in the fire department and police department, know how you can be here today and gone today. And in the words of Harold Weston, sad and touching. Winnie will be joining us. Cincinnati Sea Wings is on location. Lady A, hope will be able to join us for a little while. And Mel Cosell Smith Jr. But gentlemen, just got something. As I'm looking, I think I've got the Cisco Kid joining us, but I also got a little inside information. There's going to be here he comes. He brings the wine. Dusty doesn't drink the wine. Dusty likes the hard stuff. If it ain't rock, Dusty's not sucking it down, baby. Let a real man be a man, Dusty. Like your style. But Bernard Hopkins will be fighting towards Cloud. Cloud and Hopkins will be this, those of you people in Brooklyn, too. And the legendary, this is him in Brooklyn. They will be working out from 3 this Tuesday. And tomorrow night, BNP, Jennifer Fair, Serena Williams. But heaven, being number one, will be there, along with host of other outstanding stars. Anyway, gentlemen, I've got Dusty and got Cisco here. Cloud, Hopkins, how do we see this one?
Well, let me tell you, Doc. Cloud is 27 or 28 and old. Light heavy, of course, light heavyweight. But he's only fought Jim Big Bags with arms. And by that I mean he's fought nobody in contention. Yes, he got to credit him with the fact that he does hit. He has a pretty good punch. He's strong. He's tall. But he's a guy that I told you that, I forgot the Argentine's name. He's a stablemate of Sergio Martinez, who after Cloud knocked him down the first round, had him wrapped up in a Christmas package. The guy got up and boxed Tavoris Cloud's head off. I mean, I gave this guy 10 out of the 12 rounds.
Yeah, you're talking about Gabriel Campillo.
Campillo. Thanks, Cisco. He boxed the guy's ears off. He cut both his eyes. They were going to stop
He cut him over the left eye in the fourth round.
And his nose was busted. And they turned around. Well, maybe because he's a Don King guy, but they turned around and gave it to Tavoris Cloud. I couldn't see. I've seen Tavoris Cloud before. He's been pretty good. I mean, he knows his business. The only thing is not fighting any dude of any competition, but he's keeping his record. But here this guy boxed his ears off, and he, you know, so I see it as Hopkins having a chance, despite everybody saying that he's too old. And the only risk, like everybody else in this business, was getting hit by a guy that can punch. He's older, of course. He's going to be 40 or what? 40? Jesus, 48. And you know, one, you could take, you extend that fortune a little more, and you get hurt. You know, but other than that, I don't see Hopkins losing to this guy, and I'll go on record. You know, so but basically not performing. So
well, before the Cisco Kid has his say,
yeah.
Let's bring him the man in. Who will bring you into the Sports and Death Nation? None other than Mel Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. the little Coco, the man who coined the phrase Sports and Death Nation. Sit back, relax. It's Doc Sandy Sports Step, Fox Doc Radio, Columbia Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, you will now be welcome into the Sports and Death Nation by none other than Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Rooney!
The doctor, as we hear the dulcet tones of the senile baby Lois, the Sports and Depth Nation is here. The Sports and Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network. The straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is the incomparable Doc Staff.
Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Ronnie. And always taken back by that great introduction. And you're talking about stirring, boy. We got Cisco here. There will be some stirring, but let's talk. Let's make the intro right here. Doc Stanley. Here's the bell. Doc Stanley. Sports and Death. On the Trust in God Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. A lot has been happening. Bernard Hopkins, who told his grandma a long time ago he was going to stop fighting. Grandma doesn't know it. And this Saturday, we'll know again, too, as he will be going for the Light Heavyweight Championship against Travis McCloud. Don King, back on the scene. DK, greatest promoter in the history of boxing, along with the Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, will bring this fight to us at the Barclays Center. We seem to be having all the big fights right now. The only fights in New York City. The Knicks, three-game is gone, but the Miami Heat extended those to 14 games. LeBron James, 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists, and a 99-93 victory. A game in which at one time the Knicks had a 14-point lead. The Mets in spring training, they lose 6-4 to the Marlins, but the Yankees, they win against the arch rival, the Boston Red Sox, 5-2, and the Red Bulls open the season with a 3-3 tie against Portland. Great game today. Didn't catch the final left, but the L.A. Clippers against the Kansas City Thunder. They were down by 17 with about a minute ago. I had to run off. 40 seconds ago, they had taken the lead 100-99. Carmelo Alvarez has pulled out of the car with Troy Mayweather Jr. He will fight Austin Trout, but not on the undercard of the Mayweather card. He says he was a little dismayed because Mayweather would not sign a contract now that he will fight him later. Mayweather said, hold on. I got to concentrate on this guy. I can't do that. I can't sign a contract to fight you, and I'm fighting him. Class move by Mayweather. So, there it is. The Nets and the Knicks are right there set for the playoffs. Knicks are top of the division. The Nets now in the sixth seed, which means right now, of all things going, both teams should make the playoffs. Knicks lose. Rangers win. You win. Listen in. Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Network. They're here. Francisco Kidd, Christina H. Lamp Brown, Junior Lois, and Melco Sells Smith Jr. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death. Oh, yeah. We got some things to tell you. Thanks for being here. Cisco. Cloud, Hopkins, how you seeing it?
Well, you know, since Tavares Cloud won his title from Glenn Johnson, you know, winning the IBF strap, he struggled in that fight. And you're talking about a Glenn Johnson who we know is up there with the Bernard Hopkins as far as age is concerned. We know that Hopkins is better fighter than Glenn Johnson is, and most likely a better fighter than his last opponent, which is Gabriel Campillo, which was robbed in that
mm-hmm.
decision
yeah.
loss. You know, there's a reason why Hopkins continues fighting, because he knows he can continue winning.
Yeah.
When he made that offer that he was going to retire at 40 years old, it was pretty much made because he felt, you know, that he can lose, that he was going to lose, and didn't want to lose badly. But after figuring out, you know, after beating Tarver, you know, figuring out, hey, man, not only can I compete, but I can beat these guys. I can
Absolutely.
Still be relevant. You know, why retire? You know?
I don't like
40-year-old
guys fighting, Cisco. I still don't like it, and I will not back off that. I don't like 40-year-old guys, unless they're just God-gifted. I don't like 40-year-old guys doing battle.
Yeah, but Mel, you got to understand this. I understand you don't like to see 40-year-old guys, especially at his age, at the age of 48, still fighting, where they can be hurt and hurt badly. But this is not an Ali situation. This is not a guy who's run-of-the-mill and he's getting beat up by fighters. We've yet to see Hopkins get beat up. So,
exactly.
You know, and the difference is that Hopkins' skill level is still way above these guys' skill
right.
level. These guys cannot deal with this with a guy who has an IQ that's a lot greater than theirs. You know, so he doesn't
compete
with these younger guys.
But you've been a fighter aficionado. You know that with a fighter, Cisco, and you've been one of the great journalists in this game, know that fighters can be ancient overnight. Now,
that's
hasn't
true.
Happened to
that's
Bernard.
True. That's true, but we haven't
ancient overnight, Cisco.
Mel, but think about this. We've seen Mosley get old, and the guy's not – he's hitting – what? He just hit 40 or he's
40,
hitting 40?
40, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? We see Marquez, you know, knockout Pacquiao at 39. Hopkins is 48, and he's still fighting better than these guys.
10 years.
You can't –
And your argument also that guys like Archie Moore and Ray Robinson and all those guys who fought way into their 40s and Omar Fifi should have retired at 40.
But those are big time exceptions to the rule, though,
you know? But it was a different era then. It was a different era then. At 40, when you fought guys – look, Hopkins even knows himself. He even says it himself that if the game was the way it was, back in the days, we're talking about back in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s, even the 50s.
50s, 40s,
these guys,
40s.
These guys, he would not be competing. He should have been beaten, but he hasn't. None of these guys have come close to beating the crap out of Hopkins and making putting that decision of retiring.
Cisco, you said it at the top of the show. You said it at the top of the show. We have said this redundantly. And I will say it again. Hopkins can still fight today because guys today can't fight.
They can't
Hopkins
fight.
Can still fight today.
And
I am the minority among you, Doc, Sister,
Rooney,
Dusty.
Rooney, hold tight.
I am
tight,
telling
hold
all
tight,
of you guys.
Rooney, hold tight. Listen, let's go back to what I said about Ali said. Okay, let's go back to this. I understand where you're coming from. Do you understand where Hopkins is coming from? This is the best thing he does in life. And he looks around and said, whoa, wait a minute, man. I thought she didn't like me. She said we can go anytime she wants to. Hopkins is not an idiot. Hopkins has never been in a fight where he's taken the beating. And he said, as Cisco said, hold on. These guys can't fight. This ain't Ray Leonard. This ain't Tommy Hearns. This ain't Duran. This ain't Ali. This ain't Ray. I mean, we understand what you're saying, Rooney, but let's stop and listen to what they're saying. This is the best thing he does in life. People are going to pay him. And we've said this 100 times, and now I'll make it one-on-one. The guys today can't fight. All these top fighters today, Pacquiao, Mayweather, where would these guys be 20 years ago? These guys would have been contenders, maybe top 10. Okay, we'll give them top 10. But the thing that Hopkins sees, these guys can't fight. I can't get hurt. And the worst that can happen to Hopkins, I don't think nobody's going to knock him out. The guy can punch, but whoever hits Hopkins straight, nobody's hit Hopkins on the money. And Hopkins has enough sense to say, you know what, tonight's my last night. But he's not a rocket scientist, Rooney. He's not a teacher. He doesn't have a master's degree. This is the best thing he does in life, and they're going to pay him for it. And he's still, you know what, he's still one of the best around, gentlemen. The floor is yours.
I'm going to say that he
beats Tavares. He becomes, oldest champion in boxing history at 48. And you never know. He might hold that title till he's 50. He's going
to
beat that record.
What
does he have left to prove in this business?
Money and history. Money and history. His legacy is going
to
be stamped. You know, his legacy is going to be stamped.
He's not going to keep his brains from being scrambled if he stays too long.
Hopkins
forget the legacy. Forget the legacy.
Yeah.
Let's not forget why everybody comes into a sport. All right? Everybody comes into a sport.
Rooney, you're talking to the senior, not Rooney.
I'm talking to all of y'all. I'm talking to Rooney right now. I know it's you, Dusty.
Here's
the bottom line. Everybody that plays a sport. Plays it for. What's the biggest reason, gentlemen? Because they love it. Maybe Hopkins.
Money and love. They go hand in hand like a husband and wife. Money and love. Hopkins is making good money, and why should he stop? Hopkins is not getting hurt. He did a scouting report.
Let me tell you something.
Let me finish my point here. Hopkins did a scouting report on the leftovers, the young, untrained, unproven bums. Like he's going to fight, you know, they're undefeated and they're world champs. If you guys want to evaluate the quality of missing talent, that's an oxymoron, you should have seen the garbage that I saw Saturday. Abril and Abregu, these guys were fighting for the they were fighting for the vacant 135-pound title.
Lightweight,
I mean, these guys are an embarrassment, yet one of them won a title. And this is what Hopkins is seeing in the light heavyweight ranks. These guys may be undefeated, may have titles, may have this and the other, but these guys I can beat. And you talk about legacy? Yes, it is legacy. Because
he can't add to his legacy, does he?
No.
It does.
The man continues looking for legacy, adding to his legacy already. Right now, he knocked off George Foreman as the oldest guy to win a world title.
44,
right. Now, he has an opportunity, which I think he will win, to win a second title as the oldest man in the business. Now,
48.
Of course.
He's already the oldest, but he beats his own record.
Right.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. He beats his own record. So that's legacy. He'll probably fight, I suspect, the other day I'm reading about him, and I suspect that the man's going to stay to 50 if he's successful. And when he hits that 5-0, he says, okay,
he'll probably fight.
I would like to see him continue doing it because I'm a winner. I like to win, and I like to push ahead and challenge.
With all due respect to you, Cisco and Doc, you guys are not, and I really don't mean this in a mean way because I have nothing I have nothing but the greatest respect for fighters. My heart goes out to them in a very brutal sport. You guys are not going to be satisfied until this guy is walking around saying,
If we saw Hopkins get beat up, then we say, look, man, you know, that's it. I mean, if we hear the guy slurring, we say, hey, man, that's it. But the guy is still articulate. He's still smart. He's still,
he still has physical capabilities.
Look at his body. Look when he steps into that
ring.
His physique is better than 90% of those fighters at his weight class. You understand what I'm saying?
He stated many times that he takes care of his body.
Hey,
he eats the right food.
If you was in his shoes now, you probably still would be doing it because you love
the game. No, I wouldn't because I don't have sense enough to know in the box. Cisco, your points are well taken, Dusty, Doc. But there's something that's known, something called bowing out gracefully, okay?
Oh, come on.
Bowing out gracefully.
That's true. But when did a boxer in the history of the sport bowed out gracefully? Every fighter had a downfall before they left the game because they figured they could continue doing it forever.
The only guy that I know that actually walked away and I was more out of disgust than self-preservation was Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Walked away and never did it.
There's fighters that walked away gracefully. You got Cal Zaghi who left undefeated. You had Ricardo Lopez who left undefeated. You had Rocky Marciano who left undefeated. You had a lot of fighters who left the game, you know, early.
Well,
you know,
okay.
Mark Breland left the game with his
wits.
He didn't keep getting beat up.
He got knocked out a few times.
So, the only time that I saw Hopkins and I feared for him, mind you, I'm using the word that I never used, feared for him, was when he fought Pascal and Pascal knocked him down 3 times. I said, oh, my Lord, this guy. But he got up and beat the crap out of Pascal, not only the first time, but the second time, too. So that means that man, either there were knockdowns, or just the guy caught him at the wrong time.
What does he have to prove, Dusty?
He doesn't have anything to prove, but you can't tell a person, you proved enough, you got to stop. This is his quest. If he can get 4 or 5 more, I'm going to be exaggerating. If he can win 4 or 5 more, 20 titles before he hits 50, he's going to do it. Because that's his mindset.
Do you really think he's doing this for titles now at this stage of his career?
Do you think that's the reason he continues to fight for titles?
He's doing it for history and money. You got to understand this. He's making a couple of million dollars just from this fight.
But at this stage of his career, he's really doing it for the money.
Yeah, but think about this. Where else can he go?
What's he going to have a less risky fight? I mean, he's already got a job as executive at Golden Boy. Ronnie, we understand what you're saying. Just listen to what we're saying. This is the best thing he does in life.
I understand what you're saying. I think you're wrong.
And he's
I
not getting hurt.
All three of you are wrong. This is simple as
he's
that.
Not getting hurt.
Yeah, but okay, Rudy, at what, at what fight, if you look back at his resume, and understand, you know, I was a guy that was, I mean, I me and Bernard are friends. I love Bernard. And Bernard's resume, you know, was a little questionable. It ain't no more. It ain't no more. Pasquale, look at the Pasquale. A guy's way younger than him.
I mean, he made,
and
look,
it was him. It was
Bernard
him.
Bernard Hopkins made his stamp by beating, in the beginning, he made his stamp by beating smaller guys. He beat Tito. He beat Oscar De La Hoya. Stuff like that. Then he moves up, right? He skips a weight class. He goes to light heavyweight at a late age.
Psychologically damaged Kelly
Pavlovich.
Psychologically damaged him.
Exactly.
It was Bernard
never
Hopkins
been the same
that finished Kelly Patrick.
You know, we see why Roy Jones never wanted to fight him again, because that was the closest. That was a real close fight the first time.
It was a close fight.
You understand what I'm saying?
I think,
and it was a different Hopkins.
Yep.
You understand?
Roy Jones should have never came out of heavyweight. And once Roy Jones came heavyweight, left heavyweight, he was never the same. The Roy Jones at heavyweight could have beat Hopkins. After that, hey, listen,
everybody's
beating Roy Jones Jr. after that. Everybody.
I don't think so.
Because
I think Hopkins, if Roy Jones would never went to heavyweight and he would have fought Hopkins, I think Hopkins had a chance of beating him. That's why he never wanted to fight him. He gave him a hard time. You understand what I'm saying? And you got to understand this about Roy Jones Jr. Roy Jones Jr. is a former steroid user himself, on record, on record. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a reason why he probably came down from like heavyweight, you know, looking the way he did. Because probably to bulk up, he probably got something in him to perform well against Ruiz. We don't, you know. I mean, this is a guy who tested positive. You understand? And it's on record. You understand? So, you know, Hopkins, you know, yeah, we want to believe that Roy would probably have beaten him. But when they fought that first time, that was a close fight. And that was
it was
not,
a tough fight.
That was not the Bernard Hopkins we know
factor.
Today. That's not the Bernard Hopkins that pretty much, you know, held the title for so many years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at the same time, you got to understand that Roy Jones, they super glorified.
Man,
I'm sorry,
Roy Jones,
he was beating handpick opponents by NTO.
Right.
He
Roy
wasn't
Jones,
beating the opponents specifically in front of him.
Roy Jones was what Floyd Mayweather is today. You understand what I'm saying? That's what Roy Jones was. That contract by Showtime is the same contract that Roy Jones had with HBO. That's why HBO didn't want to match the money against Showtime. They were like, hell no, we're not going to get this guy. We're not going to go through that again. You understand?
Exactly.
Because Roy Jones pretty much
hold on, gang. Hold on, Cisco. Okay, who did we get? Hold on. Who just joined us? Hold on, Cisco. Cisco, calm down. Who just joined us now?
Lady A.
Okay,
oh,
lady, my. Just the first lady, just in time. one thing here, lady, come back to you. Okay. The first fight that Hopkins had with Jones, though, Jones had a bad hand. But what you're telling me now, you know, and it's just, and you know, Dusty, is what we've been saying for weeks, is that your sport has been also inundated with the big steroid thing.
Well,
it's
you
different games.
Right away, everybody panics that it's as bad as baseball or football. It's
no,
not.
No, Dusty, Dusty, now you're admitting that it's there. We never said it was as bad. We said it was there. You were not saying it was there, okay? We're not saying it's bad. We don't know how bad it is. It doesn't matter how bad it is. You know, if you strike out, you strike out. Whether you strike out on three pitches or on eight pitches, you strike out. But the thing is, it has been there. And, I mean, you know,
well,
Cisco.
Doc, if I could just say something.
Go ahead.
And hello to the panel and, you know, to all our listeners.
What's up, lady?
One of the things that I read today was that, which kind of shocked
sources,
me, was that...
It's for everybody now. Hey, it's my sources, you know. There's not, you know, it's you. You do the research. It's one of your sources. Go ahead, Lady A.
Right. It was that Gamboa was found to be part of the whole Florida clinic that was known to be providing steroids to... a lot of the baseball players, and that kind of shocked me because I didn't really think that he could have been involved in something like that. But if you go as far as that, that kind of, you know, goes back to our show last week where we were talking about how in every sport we could kind of cite a couple of incidents where these things have come up.
But you see, the thing
it's
is,
obvious that performance-enhancing drugs have had an effect on all sports across the board. Now,
what,
as far
what,
as, like, records, now records, we have to kind of say to ourselves, how is it that some of these commissions and some of the people that are judging criteria as far as what they're going to say as far as holding these titles and these records, how it's going to affect some of these records. We had talked in the past about how it could affect baseball and the Hall of Fame. How is it going to affect some of the historic records that are out there today, whether it's Lance Armstrong's
record? Well, the juice is definitely
records,
affecting the numbers,
you know?
Lady A. The juice is definitely affecting the numbers.
Well,
no question
the
about
fact
it.
Of the matter is that you have to understand one thing, and I go back a long way, like I told you guys. The commissions then were hatchet men, and I use that term loosely. They were hatchet men. You spit on a sidewalk without permission, you're suspended. I mean, to be glib. Now we have weak-kneed political hack appointees who campaigned for some governor and got a job. And these suckers don't know the first thing about boxing. They don't even know what an Everlast is as opposed to a grant. That's the appointees. Okay? And what happens, because it's a mystery to me that if a dude tests positive, how the hell can he fight and not test positive pre the exam and then test positive after the exam? Something is wrong there. And I said it last week that the commissions, universally or statewide, should have a meeting to decide on what to do before this gets out of hand. Right now.
Yeah, but
right now we have the talks and the suspensions and like I said, the 10% knotheads who are doing this before it becomes cancerous, like in baseball. In fact, an article that I read some time ago, it listed the suspected steroid users in baseball, and some of the most prominent names. And what I'm saying to you, before it gets to that cancer stage in boxing, okay, the commission's got to take hold and say, why? Because who the heck said it? I heard him say it, and I'm duplicating what he said. He says, this is the hurt business. You can kill somebody with one punch. Now, if the dude is on the juice, like Frisco says, on the juice, he's going to kill somebody. So the idea is, you see that this is the hurt business, the most dangerous sport in business, with all the respect to other sports. And
but,
if these guys are taking
drugs,
you got to stop it.
And I need everybody's attention. Two things here. Okay. Now, we were talking before about who was Mayweather, bringing up these tests, kind of obvious that he had an idea what was going on. And as Lady
because
A said,
he tested positive himself.
I don't care what he did. He was right, okay?
He was
I don't
a whistle
care what he did.
Like
the bottom
pretty
line
simple.
Is, I don't care what he did, use it or not, okay? And you seem to have a problem with this. 2 and 2 is 4. Mayweather said a long time ago, guys should be tested. Mayweather said, I got no fight problem, but with my old goals, I don't want to be cheated out of it.
Doc, can I say something? Can I say something real quick, though? Look.
Yeah.
Just check this out, right? Chavez, right? He got suspended for 9 months. Has to pay what, $90,000 or something like that for his suspension for marijuana. But these guys, Lamont Peterson and Berto, get busted, and what did they serve? Nothing. What did they pay? Nothing. You get busted for marijuana and you get this large penalty, but you get busted for steroids and you pay nothing. There's no suspension or anything.
What I've been trying to say to you guys is everything is a testament and all goes back to the commissions. We have weak commissions because they're not overseeing. Their job is oversight.
Absolutely.
Their job is to police.
But once again, if
the commissions are not policing the sports, whether it's in baseball, whether it's in football, whether obviously this is going to continue, and you're 100% right. You know, okay, marijuana is illegal, but so is steroids. So how do you lay out the penalties and make it fair for everybody, when now you're saying that you're allowing certain things and you're not allowing others?
You know, the thing
is, too,
lady,
And I never saw somebody in marijuana like perform some of the things I see these guys do on steroids.
Chavez could have had this marijuana 4 months ago. You know, what Chavez does outside the ring is his business. The problem we have here is the same problem we had before, and Dusty talked about a minute ago. You know, there was a horde, and Eddie Murray told me this before the list came out. Eddie told me there was a horde of names and mentioned a guy on the Yankees, okay? But the thing is, it always seems to be that the penalties are inflicted against the minorities. I mean, to this day.
Well, Doc, I don't even really think that. I mean, I think you could go that far, but boxing has always been the kind of sport where you can still say, hey, listen, back in the day, Dusty has said, too,
the only person that went to jail out of the whole Balco situation was Marion Jones, who was a black woman.
No one else went
to jail on that list.
Point one, okay. And the only names linked of the baseball list were A-Rod, Manny Ramirez, and Big Poppy. Bump Menards again. And now you're telling me that Chavez, out of all the people, got a $90,000 fine for smoking marijuana?
I'm gonna say one more thing too. The commission is like the government. They're pretty much brought, like the government is pretty much bought by corporations. These commissions are
good
brought
point.
By big promoters.
Guys, you're totally ignoring what I just said.
This
is something that goes back also, you know, like I said, we know Biden has a history also of having some type of corruption. Even if you go back and you go back in sports, you could also tie them to mob ties back in the day. Dusty talked about it before.
No question about it.
Definitely.
Now you're stepping on my time. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It used to be like that back in the day, too. So what are we talking about?
And you know what's funny?
It's no different.
The point you bring up is so good because this big thing with Pete Rose, it shows the hypocrisy of not only baseball but America. Baseball was founded on gambling. That's what pushed baseball to the forefront. That's what was the foundation of baseball. And now you're saying Pete can't get in because of gambling. You know, and the words of Harold Weston, who I hope he's doing well, sad and touching. Let's take a quick break, gang, and we'll be right back.
Let me give you a little tidbit before.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth.
Okay.
Blog, talk, radio, on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. They're all here. The First Lady of SID Sports, the incomparable legendary Lady A, the Disco Kid, a friend of yours, a friend of mine, and he always brings the wine, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Cuckoo, who will flip the truth and then pin it down so you can listen to it. And Dusty H. Ray Brown, if you ain't right, Dusty will definitely let you know. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth. Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. And as you know, Sports and Depth is brought to you by Chipitos out of my beloved Fortaleza. Fortaleza. Hey, calzones, sandwiches, hamburgers. Number one, not only so much in Fortaleza, but in all of Brazil. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Block Talk Radio Network. It's on Block Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Radio Network. And now, without further ado, the First Lady of Sports and Depth. Lady A, once again, take the floor and have a say. Lady A, your floor, young lady.
Well, my point was...
some knowledge on the main.
My point prior to the break was that you still see, you know, there are ties to the... There have been ties to the mob.
In the history
of boxing. And, you know, there has been corruption in boxing before. So if the commission is really going to do something, they need to step up and make a difference, because this is something that goes back the way back. Now, Dusty's saying it took the strength of the commission to change boxing.
Exactly.
And I think you're at a point right now where the commission has to go back to that if they want to earn the respect of
Let me piggyback on what I was saying. It's not going to happen, because if you look at it now, boxing never really changed. Boxing never really changed. Corruption in boxing has been hand in hand since the beginning of the sport.
That goes way back to the days of
Exactly.
Blake,
so today, You think these guys like the WBC or the IBF or all these other, you know, organizations are going to go, well, you know, let's go suspend so-and-so. Let's make a statement when these guys are throwing millions at them. No, these guys are going to turn around and say, no, well, you know what? We're going to give him the title back. We're gonna give him a chance to redeem himself after he tested positive.
Yeah,
well, listen,
here's
an example.
It's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, but
never happened.
Justice.
Yeah.
Been more seen in the state of boxing that when Margarito was cold busted, okay, and he ended up he should have been kicked out of boxing like they did to Pete Rose in baseball, and he still fought again. So you know what?
Exactly.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
That's what I'm saying. When a guy gets caught red-handed, okay. And the guy gets a year suspension. Not only that, but gets to make big
and
money fights after. Are you kidding me? When you got a guy like Jeffrey Redd,
title shot, and then goes again and fights the Madison Square Garden.
Right, you got a guy like Louis Redd that got busted.
Chisco,
you
can take Margarito's. Margarito has been doing that for years. He hit a guy. He was boxing a guy. And the guy's ear was ripped off of his head.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, my God.
And he stopped the fight.
I'll tell you his name right now. What was his name?
Let me tell you people something here. First of all, I think you're wrong with the ear situation for the simple reason that there was an article, and I researched it, and it came out. And it was, in fact, there are two things I wanted to say, and this was the, I'm glad you said, Lady A, because it's an erroneous belief. Number one, the man's ear was not busted by Margarito. The man's, how many of you, and I'm going to ask a scientific question, how many of you have been hit? You swell up, you get a black eye. Well, you are internally bleeding. Margarito hit him on the ear, and the ear was bleeding inside. How many of you know the phrase?
It was Sebastian Lujan.
Right.
And let me tell you something.
No, let me finish the story, because
okay,
I
go
think
ahead,
he was taken
ahead,
on
go
the
ahead,
ear.
Go ahead.
He was internally bleeding. As long as the skin didn't break, it filled up like a balloon, because it does happen.
Like a cauliflower ear. Being a wrestler, I know that.
And,
go ahead, Doug.
And then the skin reaches tensile strength. It blew up, and the blood flowed out onto the referee, to him. And all it was that the skin, the lap of the skin was hanging. All they had to do was suture it and put it back. It wasn't Margarito's. It could have been, I don't know, but I'm not going to say Margarito was dirty, except when he fought Shea Mosley, because everything else is conjecture. Okay?
Let's talk about Margarito a long time ago
that Margarito knocked out Cedric Martinez. Ah, because he was dirty. He's out. How do you know?
Let's talk about Margarito. Wait, Dusty.
No,
we just talk about Margarito now. Margarito won when Kermit Citron fought him. He said he'd never been hit that hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
wait a second. Let me finish. One of his sparring partners, Rashad Holloway, was sparring with him in the gym with Freddie Roach, right? He broke his orbital bone in sparring.
He did. Broke that
orbital
bone. You're right about that.
Margarito was doing destructive things in the ring.
So
you understand what I'm saying?
You have no proof that the man was on steroids.
After he got busted, who did he destroy after that? No one.
He's not the same guy after he got busted. Let me tell you something. If you want to believe it, go ahead.
But the guy got busted with plaster of Paris in his gloves. There's no taking back of that.
With Shea Mosley did that. Let me tell you something. My history. I knocked out a guy in the gym sparring, preparing for a fight with 16-ounce freaking gloves, man. So what
okay,
are you talking about?
Hold on.
Let me somebody else make a point here. Yeah. Hey, Dusty, if you're thinking, okay, that the only time this guy was dirty is the time he got busted, then this is Alice in Wonderland stuff. So if you think
no,
the
no,
only
no,
time
no,
this
Mel,
guy,
exactly,
if
Mel,
you think
Mel,
the only
Mel,
time
Mel,
this guy,
it's me.
Mel, think about this.
The only time that this guy was dirty is the time he got busted, then you're living in another world, Dusty.
Exactly.
Okay?
Hey, Mel.
Roberto Duran, who knocked out people,
Mano de Piedra,
and George Murabi, Are you going to tell me that
this
guy didn't knock you out?
You know when a guy, gets busted.
Don't mention Margarita remotely in the same breath of Roberto Duran.
Exactly.
Dusty. Are you going to tell us that you didn't think this guy's been doing it all along? What are you telling me? And Cisco said on the point, who the hell else did he beat after that? The only guy and it's amazing to show you how Paul Williams did, because definitely his hands was plastered when he fought Williams, but Williams outboxed him, and good thing it was a 15-round fight. But Rooney's on the money here. This guy was dirty all along until he got caught.
You know what?
I'm going to try these tonight, one night. Come on, Dusty. He was dirty. D-I-R-T-Y. And that's just the bottom line. And you know, the guy, Lady A is right. And the question is, and it goes back to what Lady A said about the powers of B, which is Bob Arum, because, if Don King was the lead promoter on Pacquiao and Mayweather and the fight didn't come off, you'd never hear the end of it. Okay, Arum, the only reason why the Pacquiao wound up fighting Margarito is because Margarito was a top-ranked fighter. So now, for the longest time...
But that, too, says a lot about Pacquiao, too. I mean, what are we talking about when it comes to Pacquiao with that fight? I mean, here he is, someone else who's boxing, who's part of Arum's camp, because at the time, Cotto was in Margarito's camp, and he turned out he fight Margarito? Come on, stop,
they all fought each other.
I got to say this, though. My man 50 Cent went on record and said that Floyd Mayweather was ducking Pacquiao, dude.
Exactly.
Like two
he
days
it
ago.
Night.
It was crazy, you know?
But all of a sudden, now, that's gospel because now they broke off. I mean,
he was trying to make the fight happen.
How was that press conference anyway? Did you make that press conference?
I was at the press conference. Yeah. No, it was one of the shortest press conferences I've been to. It was not much.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was really short, really, really, really in a small room on a rooftop of a hotel. It was really quick.
It was like a drive-by, you know?
Was
that the same place he had that remember he had that Martinez press conference against the guy that he fought from Europe at the same hotel?
Nah, I don't think it was, because that was like an outdoor rooftop.
Yeah,
this was like an indoor rooftop. It was really small. I don't think it was that. No.
Okay. So, in fact, what would I think there was an upset last night in that fight? Was it? Didn't we have an upset in that card up there? Somebody won. I
got
to go back.
Billy Dibbs.
Actually got beat by the
Russian. Gennabde? I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it wrong.
Garadov or some crap.
Yeah, something like that.
And Billy Dibbs was.
He was 15-0. But check this out. This is where things get interesting, because. Steve Luevano gave Billy Dibbs his last loss. Now his trainer, Steve Luevano's trainer, was Robert Garcia. Okay.
Yeah.
Now guess who was the Russian's trainer? Robert Garcia. You understand what I'm saying? So Robert Garcia, even though this kid didn't have that much experience, he had a big amateur background, but he didn't have that much experience. He was only 15-0, undefeated.
Yeah.
Going against Billy Dibbs, who's 31-1. So, the consensus was that this guy was going to get overwhelmed by Billy Dibbs' experience, but it wasn't like that. You know, Robert knew what they were dealing with Billy Dibbs. They had faced him before and beat him. So, they knew that the rush, and he knew where his fighter was at that particular time, which he took at a short notice. He took it, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. I can't remember how long it was, but he took it at short notice. And beat the crap out of him, man. I mean, he hit Billy Dibbs with some serious shot. Had him bleeding for one eye. I think it was his left eye. Not sure. But he gave him the business. So, and this is a guy who's 15-0. Now he's a world titleist. He's in the mix right now.
Let me inject something in the conversation. Did anybody see that fight with Abreu?
Yes, I did. With the Lion.
You guys think that he's going to get Broner? You think that he's going to get Broner? Should Broner a fair shot?
Well,
give Broner a fair shot, or is Broner going to give him
Daniel
a fair
Fulton
shot? Because that's
saying,
really the bottom
saying,
line.
Do you think that he, you think that he'll give Broner competition?
Well,
we were talking last week about Broner actually.
No, his height may give him a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
But he's not an aggressive fighter. He tries to lay back. and counterpunch you. That's what he was trying to do against
his best moments in that fight.
Yeah,
was actually got the point taken away, and actually decided the fight not hold. After he got that point taken away, that's when he actually started to use the jab, judge the distance, and actually start to manage the combination instead of just hold all night.
You know, he made that fight difficult for himself because being a taller fighter, he should have stuck that stick in his face, but he didn't. And then the African Bogera, he was being totally sloppy. He wasn't really landing flush. He was
a lot of headbutts.
It was a totally ugly fight. It was a really
a
ugly
headbutts.
Fight.
A lot of headbutts.
Too many headbutts.
The guy didn't start fighting until he got a point taken away.
Mm. Well, he got a point taken away because he kept trying not to get headbutted. That's
and,
why
and
he kept grabbing him every
the
time
guy
he came
didn't
in.
Start throwing combinations and throwing decent shots. And
well,
so
he never threw
combinations.
His combination was left and right, 1-2. He kept throwing the jab and the straight left. That's all he kept doing. No left hooks, no body work.
And the referee is giving guys 100 warnings before he takes a point.
Yeah. He should have took that head. He should have made that headbutt situation early in the fight. He should have told him, "Hey, man, stop headbutting. Stop rushing in with your head," because that's what he was trying to do. Because he knew that he couldn't deal with his height. So rushing in like that, it's sort of like what Holyfield was doing to Lennox Lewis or to Mike Tyson. You saw what he did to Rockman, and ended up looking like a hammerhead shark after fighting Holyfield.
I actually talked to Mike privately about the Holyfield fight, and he implored me to watch the tape again in slow-mo. Dude was absolutely right, man. Holyfield was coming in big time, doing a whole lot of head work with that rumble.
Exactly.
I talked to Mike privately about that, and he was right.
Holyfield knew that it's hard to hit a guy when his head is coming at you. And last night it proved it. This guy, I thought he could have got that knockout, but because the ref was on his back about holding, about pushing his head down and stuff like that, and wasn't warning the other guy for the headbutts, he couldn't stop this guy. He had to protect himself. So, look at his face.
It has long been known in the boxing circle that Evander is D-I-R-T-Y. He's a dirty fighter. He's known to use his head. I mean, these are things that have always been known. Evander.
And you're right, Doc, because I talked to you off the air about that, Doc, privately.
And I told you what Mike said, and he was right.
Evander, to me,
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blog Talk Radio Network, on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, they're all here. The Cisco Kid, the first lady of SID Sports, Lady A, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., and the Stony Dusty, H-Rab Brown. Evander reminds me of Marciano, and both guys were guys who their victories, everybody they beat was past their prime. You look at Evander, the big names that he beat. He beat George. George is past his prime. He beat Larry. Larry was past his prime. He beat Mike. Mike was past his prime. You go back to Marciano. Every great fighter that Marciano beat was past their prime. Ezra Charles, or Jersey Joe Walcott, even before Joe Lewis.
Doc, you want to say about Dirty Fighter too? He was using an alias name to buy steroids. Remember that Ebbets Field situation? When they called the number and everything, they found out it was his address that all the stuff was being mailed to. You understand what I'm saying? So this is a former steroid.
And Cisco, let me say this, okay? I was talking to Doc off the air, Lady A, and I was telling them that the wrestlers backstage talking to the guys had a big-time chuckle privately when all this steroid stuff came up with the ball players and, the football players are kind of akin. But the guys backstage were having privately a big-time snicker in regard to all this juice because for many years the wrestlers and the football players were basically the guys were getting the finger pointed when we knew all along that the guys in the other sports were juicing, man. I mean, that's news to the public, not news to us.
Mm. No, it's not actually news to me because I've been watching a lot of fighters hiring bodybuilders to bulk them up. You understand what I'm saying? And seeing how these guys today, if you look at weigh-ins, right? You look at weigh-ins.
Well, here's another point. Here's the point that you brought up last time, which is, just piggybacking on what you said. Listen, if the commission is so into trying to stop this, why do they allow guys like Marquez to have guys that were tied to Victor Conti? Victor Conti to be freaking even involved in boxing, supplying stuff and training Nonito Donaire, okay, Why do they even allow that? Obviously, they know there's ties to this stuff that can affect the sport, but they're not doing anything about it.
Well, see, this is what.
Hold on, Dusty. You know the big point too could be behind this, Dusty.
But can I say something?
That's why. Hold on. That's why I think the beginning of this whole thing was when the weigh-ins were no longer the same day. I think that's a small indication.
And Doc, think about this. Look at weigh-ins. If you go to weigh-ins back in the days, right? Guys looked in shape, you know. Yeah, they got in the scales. They looked in shape, but they were lean. They were they were cut. But now, if you look at guys now, it looks like a bodybuilding show, dude. These guys are
but not only that.
Weighed 147. And it's like, wait a second here. How is this guy moving up in weight? And which is hard to do because, you know, we've seen Durant move up in weight, right? He skipped the weight class like Pacquiao did. He didn't look super muscular going up.
Because he looks
muscular. You know what I mean? You look at Timothy Bradley, you know what I mean, who's now saying he wants to incorporate steroids, incorporate the testing. But, I mean, he looked like an Adonis. You understand what I'm saying?
Can I
say that a fighter can't look? Kenny Norton was very muscular, right? Kenny Norton looked good. But he didn't look like he was on some other shit. You know what I'm saying?
These guys are moving up.
And you know what I'm saying is this is that a fighter in the history of the sport, okay, in the history of the sport, no fighter has moved up in weight and has gotten faster, has gotten bigger, and has gotten stronger, and developed more stamina.
No fighter. How about
Hold on, gang. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Hey,
let me say something.
Boston Depth, Block Talk Radio. We've been talking boxing. You got another hour, but the panel is. You're learning, you're being enlightened here, and they brought a very good point. At no time in the history of boxing have you ever seen a 4-time, 6-time, 7-time world champion. That's telling you something. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We'll be right back in just a moment. Don't anybody move. We're back. Lady A, she had the floor. Yes. Dusty will come after her. Go ahead, Lady A.
Let me tell you something.
Good.
Okay, who was talking first?
I think Lady A was about to say something, I think. I'm not sure.
I was trying to get a word in edgewise because... Go ahead, Lady A. Say what you have to say.
No. My point was that a lot of the... Once you take steroids, a lot of that bulkiness and a lot of that weight is really water weight. So you know, back to what Cisco was saying, you're retaining all that water. And when you step on that scale, it's all water weight. That's all it is. It's not like you're like he said, guys were lean back in the day. Now you're starting to see guys all jacked up and bulky.
Okay.
I refer back to what Doc said, which is like a lot of these guys that are knockout guys like Tommy, which lean and thin guys like Tommy Hearns. You know, and what's our boy, Mark Breland? You know, these are guys that were thin guys, but they had a lot of power. Alexis Arguello,
Okay, the point I'm trying to stress here, let's go back in history. And when I say history, it's way before all of your time, okay? What I'm trying to say to you is that guys look lean, that they look strapped the way they look today and all that, because there's one bit of history that you may or may not know. It was taboo. Listen to the word, taboo, for any fighter to pump iron, to weightlift, because his arms were curled and shortened. This is the way
guys coming in trouble
now.
Not necessarily true. No, it is true. I live
not necessarily that. True. Well,
you can argue if I'm here the next week, but it is true. That's how we were trained. No pumping iron. The only time he saw a man doing any strength to strengthen himself, like Lady A was shocked when I used my sledgehammer. Okay, now also, you go to Pompton Lakes, which is a famous, popular training camp for the Joe Louises and the Kid Gavilans I forgot the other guys, because they couldn't go to Grossing because that was for white fighters. But what I'm telling you, The only time he saw a man doing anything other than boxing and training was when he was allowed to chop wood that toughened up his arms and his shoulders.
Yeah, they did that. Guys were chopping down trees and stuff, sure.
Yeah, and cut all that. There was a lot of restriction. You were not allowed. Now, getting back to another point of history that you may not realize is the fact, the corruption and the mobs hanging out, of course we saw them. But the fact of the matter is that to avoid corruption, even though we saw the mobs hanging out, was, and listen to this, referees and judges were not announced until the day of the fight. And here, Marquez with Pacquiao, number four, Marquez went to the freaking commission's office and picked the judges. And you could never do that. Understand? You could never do that. He picked the judges because of the bad decisions he went through with the three previous fights. What fighter would walk into the commission and tell him, look, I want to pick these fighters. This guy I don't want. He was in my fight. This guy I don't want. No, you don't do that. The commission was a bastion of control and power. Sure, they knew some of these Lippy Breitbart and other connected guys were hanging around.
Well, but they've had fighters who
they've had fighters who've been
at the press conferences and had procedural quarrels over the people who've been named the judge before. That's nothing new. They've had judges.
Let me say something.
Look, what?
Even Emmanuel Stewart was against building muscle, a lot of muscle, going up in weight because it slows you down. That's a factor.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, Francisco.
That's a factor. That's anybody who knows boxing knows that. Boxing is not a bodybuilding contest.
Leave you muscle
at the end of the day,
is old as water, Francisco.
Exactly.
This is nothing new.
Boxing is not a bodybuilding contest. It's fighting.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So putting on muscle is not the main factor. But
that's right.
This is a difference. When you put on what these guys are using are, you know, not only methods to make themselves stronger and able to, you know, go up in weight and more muscular,
mm-hmm.
but they're using drugs like EPO, like what Lance Armstrong was using to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tour de France. So these guys,
mm-hmm.
not only are they getting bigger, but they fight, their stamina level is greater. You understand what I'm saying? That's
this
what Pacquiao
also what happens
up in
is
weight.
They're taking a lot of these
right.
They're taking a lot of these race horses.
You understand? They like race horses. That's why you see Pacquiao, right? When he moved up in weight, not only was he throwing, you know, the same speed that he was in the low weight classes, but now he's throwing hard punches, 10 or 20 at a time. You understand?
Right.
Throwing 100 punches around and
he's
not getting tired. Doing 12 rounds without getting tired. That is something that
you know what that does is when they're taking these performance enhancing drugs, the drug that they're taking is to improve their recovery. So now what they're at
right.
10 rounds, 10, 11,
recovery,
and 12,
but
they have more
like
oxygen
EPO,
in their blood so they can recover a lot quicker.
Right,
that's what Lance Armstrong was.
Right. But drugs like EPO raises your
mm-hmm.
oxygen level so you can fight 12 rounds hard.
That's
so
what I just
break
said. They raise your oxygen level
rounds.
So you don't, you're
well,
not
you
as, you're not,
talking
you have
about
more stamina.
Lady A. Lady,
so
what you're talking about, what Cisco's talking about, Lady A, is what you said with the oxygen and the blood thing.
Right.
That is basically a form of blood doping, which is what Lance Armstrong
is
talking about.
It is blood doping.
That's exactly what that is. Let me tell you something.
I've done my homework, my research to know that this stuff does work. And if any of you, I don't know how much you guys know, but I'm telling you, do your homework, man. This stuff is real. And the fact is, what other sport can guys get away with than boxing? Boxing is
mm-hmm.
filled with corruption. You think there's only like 10 guys? You know, 10 guys get busted and that's it? That's all we got in boxing? No. There's a lot more guys doing this stuff than we know.
You
understand what I'm saying?
You are speculating. This is what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm not speculating.
Yes,
see, that's the thing with Dusty is. Dusty's still back in 1950 or 60,
man. No,
I'm
not still back. I'm telling you.
This is we had 2013, brother. Think it differently. Yo, if you're going to say that these guys are clean and that it's not happening in boxing, come on.
The reason why
baseball can make a stand and football can make a stand is because these guys make more money than these athletes. But when in boxing, it's a different. These commissioners are not making as much money as the promoters are, so they can be paid off. They can be swept under the covers.
Well,
and
that's exactly
so
what
somebody tested positive. Let's wipe that under the covers. But in other sports,
you're
it can't happen.
You're not in that dressing room. You're not there when they're indulging, and the only guy
that's
caught, like I said,
I don't have to.
You don't have to. Oh my lord!
You could see it. You could see it, man.
See
you
what?
See it. You could see
because
that these fighters are becoming superheroes all of a sudden,
no,
dude.
No,
and you're like,
no.
Wait a second here. He wasn't fighting that great.
It's just like in baseball. I mean, you know,
exactly.
I don't think really anybody really thought about it until after Juice came out. And they were like, oh, what's Canseco? No, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but you know what? After that is when everything else happened because they started really looking at it and saying, wait a minute, man, this guy may have a point. We're not just looking at two or three guys. We're looking at a ton of guys.
Okay,
I mean, I laughed when I saw that New York Post article. Now, like, 50 guys. I was like, oh, my God.
Lady, when you look at these guys' careers, right, lady? When you look at these guys' careers,
yeah.
you go, wait a second.
What?
They wasn't, like, Barry Bonds.
Batting average for 410 batting average.
And Maguire, they weren't that big all of a sudden.
Hold up a minute, Cisco. What about the pitcher that was pitching and all of a sudden pitched the ball and snapped his arm? I was like, I've never seen that ever.
Oh, wow.
Well, he had bone cancer.
He snapped his arm. People were like, how the hell did he snap his arm pitching the baseball? Steroids.
Did you see the Ben Johnson 30 for 30 with Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis when he was talking about how
Ben Johnson wasn't even that great
of an athlete. He was a good athlete. He wasn't a great athlete. All of a sudden, he got on steroids and he became number one.
Yeah.
He started smashing records. He started beating these guys. And that's what you got to look at.
Are you talking about Johnson? I'm talking about the whole Johnson situation.
Johnson wasn't looked at as the next great athlete. He was average. And all of a sudden, he became the super athlete.
Cisco. He went from a 9.7 to a 9.2. Do you know what that is? 9.7 to 9.2.
That's crazy. He went from a human being to a cartoon. That's what he did.
I'm telling you, man. It's happening in boxing. It's happening in boxing, man.
Well, you know,
you
and the thing
guys,
is, Johnson was the first guy. He was the first guy. At first, I remember he won the Jesse Owens Award, and then he was the first guy of some sort of name to get you heard about this illegal use of the substance and stuff like that. He was the first guy to really bring it on the radar
to the Olympics.
Because for years
they were talking about the Russians and the Germans being involved, but there was no proof.
You know what you got?
You know,
there's a documentary called Bigger, Stronger, Faster. You guys
watch
that?
That's a great documentary.
Definitely a great documentary. You want to learn anything on steroids and how steroids became prominent here in America? Watch that documentary.
A tremendous documentary.
You mean outside of asking you, we watch a documentary, right? You first, and then documentary.
Tremendous documentary. Tremendous.
Let me tell you something. I've been trying to get this across.
What?
Albert has been trying to get something across for the last half hour, though.
Then wait another hour. Alberto Pujols.
Yeah.
Alberto Pujols for 10 years.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything.
Yeah.
30 or more home runs for 10 straight years, over 100 RBIs and all that. All of a sudden, some jackass in some supposedly sports columnist expert says, well, maybe he should fall into the line of being tested because, I mean, it seems unusual that a ball player can hit all those home runs for 10 straight years and not have to be tested positive. That's the jerk-off, cancerous mentality that if a person begins to hit, set a record and has an excellent performance in his sport in years, all of a sudden he has to be dirty.
About
Toronto Blue Jays, he hardly hit. He hit 20, 15.
Right.
All of a sudden, it was a breakout year. He beat Granderson for the home run title or whatever the heck it is. Or he should be tested too because all of a sudden he couldn't do that naturally. I mean, what is wrong with our mentality?
It's not the mentality. It's called racism. That's what it's called.
No, it's not racism. It's a reality.
It's not a reality.
You know what it really is? What it really is? What it really is that sometimes a bad apple spoils it for the rest. That's pretty much
no, 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 no. Hey, right now, Doc's holding court. How, you know, all of a sudden, you know, especially when you talk baseball, you know, you guys are crazy. When you talk baseball, you start out with the big R. Pujols has 10 straight years. All of a sudden, you're gonna question Pujols? Okay, well, let's go back to the whole steroid
thing.
Well, Doc,
I think you got to look at facts, though. You can't really do that. I think what you got to look at is facts. If he's consistent, that's one thing. But if you got a guy like Melky Cabrera, who maybe then, let's say,
lady, this is what I'm making. 2 points here. First of all, you know, why, you know, it's always amazing that now we're questioning the people of color. You know what I mean? It's just amazing. You know, when Clemens had his thing come up, we're back to the point that his trainer said he was doing it, but his trainer was lying. Bond's trainer said he wasn't doing it. Bond's trainer was lying. Okay? Clemens gets caught, and right away there's talk of clemency, right away. And that, once again, let's go back to the list. You got over 100 sub names on that list, and only 3 names get leaked, and they happen to be minorities. And then when you had Giambi and Pettit admit that they did it, you heard about it for maybe 1 week later, and you heard like it never even happened.
You're absolutely right, Doc. But let's tell it like it is, Doc. Let's tell it
like
it is.
No, like it
Pettit,
never.
Hey, Doc.
You have the audacity?
Pettit.
The audacity to also Pujols is just happened to be the greatest right-hand hitter of this generation and the greatest right-hand hitter in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, and you know, you kill me with this nonsense. It's all about black and white. When you're talking baseball, it's all about black and white. When you talk, you may have a little difference here and there, okay? Pacquiao, Mayweather, why is it never made? Arum. That's simple. Arum did not want to make the fight. Don't talk about the blame, because there's enough blame. Hey, and like Lady A said before, Pacquiao didn't show the true mettle of a champion when he fought. How the hell did he fight Margarito? You mean that you're going to turn down $40 million to fight Margarito, who happens to be in your same camp? There's something wrong with that picture. There's something serious wrong with that picture.
How much did you say turned down, Doc?
For at least $40 million. I test the whole family for $40 million. Nobody, and now we see right, nobody can get tested because everybody was dirty. Everybody. Everybody. So that's why he couldn't get tested. You know, that's the story in a nutshell. But, I mean, you know, to tell me Pujols, 10 straight years, now you're going to question the credibility of Pujols
in a game where you have less
black players than ever before?
Doc,
good.
Let me be allowed to make a point here, since everybody else is like dominating the floor. Okay.
Go ahead. You got it.
Much like the great Lady A said, and I totally agree with her. One of the reasons that people's noises are so out of joint, especially as concerns performance enhancers, especially in the sport of baseball, is very simple: the juice and the juicers are skewing the numbers. How long did the home run, the single season home runs title stand, the numbers, Doc? About 30 years before guys start coming in hitting 60 and 70 home runs? The reason is the juice is messing up the numbers. The juice is interfering with the numbers. How long did that home run title last, Doc? 25, 30 years.
Roger Maris hit 61 home runs in 1961, and then McGuire broke the record.
And when was it broken?
It was broken when McGuire broke. I don't know what year Brian did in the 90s.
1990.
The fact of the matter is, Doc, that was set in 1961 and lasted like 30 years until McGuire and the Juice broke it. So, in other words,
Stop. And then the next year, Bonds broke that record.
Yeah. And that's what happens, that records keep being broken over and over and over again.
And that's why it comes back to what Lady A said in the conversation that started this whole mess. And we go back to the beginning, which is, hey, guys, food for thought. If this is due to performance enhancing drugs, where are we going to draw the line when it comes to records, and where are we going to draw the line when it comes to the Hall of Fame nominations? Because that's the whole thing that was a big issue this year
for
baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, Well, while I was watching ESPN the other day, well, not the other day, it was a couple of weeks ago, where Nigel Collins, the former editor of Ring Magazine, pretty much was talking about Shane Mosley. Now, you know Shane Mosley was implicated in the whole Balco situation, right? He admitted
the
steroids,
first,
right?
Was
he actually,
sure.
You know what he said? You know
who
what he said?
Been?
He's part of the Boxing Hall of Fame committee. You know, he's part of the guys that vote him in, right? He says that he should be voted in. You know, and that, you know, even though he was in his steroid implication, he should be voted into the Hall of Fame. And I was like, are you kidding me, dude? So that means that, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if
he
took steroids or not.
The problem you have here, fellas, is that, first of all, it's like Dusty and Harold and everybody here keeps saying, the quality of the game, the quality of the fighters, the quality of the trainers is no longer there. It's the same thing with the induction process. You know, 20, 25 years ago, I was a member of the induction process, along with guys like Bill Gallo, okay, Marion Boykin, you know. So if you look back, Phil Pepe, so now you know, you've got this new wave of guys who, once again, don't have a clue, okay. And now the thing, too, if I'm correct, if you're not a member of the Boxing Writers of America, you can't vote. So who's voting them in? This is the Boxing Writers of America who I walked away from because, one, they would never honor Don King. Two, anybody that wasn't African American or Hispanic from a daily newspaper never got to write into the local magazines. And, you know, so, I mean, you had no credibility. So there's no credibility in the voting process. I mean, you look at baseball. You mean to tell me you – I understand you didn't want to put Barry in. I understand you want to put Clemens in. But come on, man. Piazza should have got in. What are you telling me?
Well, they have their suspicions about Piazza, Doc, and they showed that by not voting him in.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, then again, you same thing. Suspicions. The guy has never been brought up, okay? The guy has never been implicated, and the guy is the greatest home run hitting catcher in the history of baseball. So what's all the bullshit? Were you going to wait 5 years from now?
Well,
what
he's
dead?
Well, probably was. You see, he's not on the first
exactly
ballot.
What I'm
yeah,
saying.
I think that's what they're going to do, yeah.
What has happened is that this has created a monster that a lot of these commissioners have created that has grown out of control, and now we're stuck with what's left over.
Dusty won 301 games, okay, in an era where everybody cheated. He wasn't cheating. So now Dusty doesn't get in because he's with the crew?
What I'm saying is tell me who you hang out with, and I'll tell you who you are. So because of the fact that...
But you did hang out with him. But you didn't, Dusty.
No.
You didn't hang out with him. That's not your fault. You didn't hang out with him.
If there's a suspicion of Piazza, whatever personal or manhood, whatever it is, and that's what's keeping him out of baseball, that's what I'm saying. Suspicion. You don't have proof of anything.
Robinson Cano is friends with Melky Cabrera. They're already saying that Robinson Cano, because he's friends with Melky Cabrera.
What
maybe
a surprise.
He's doing steroids.
Wow.
Okay?
What a surprise,
How shocking.
And he's getting ready to come up with a big contract. And you know what? He also happens to be a minority. Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
I didn't want to inject that into the conversation, but that's something that's been coming up all the time now on a lot of these ESPN commentaries.
It never fails. Like I said, once again, you haven't remotely heard another name off that list outside of A-Rod, Big Poppy, and Matt. It's like nobody else was on that list. And now, here's the old killer. Every time a player of color comes on, and there's not that many African Americans, so we also say every time a Latin player comes along, because there's no more black players in baseball.
Doc. You know, you're right about that. You're definitely right about that. But, you know, what they're doing is pretty much, you know, they're going with it, let's say a white athlete who's busted for steroids, and a black or Hispanic athlete who's been busted for steroids, they're going to go after the black and Hispanic athlete first. That's pretty much what you're saying, and that's true. But, you know, you got to look at sometimes that's not always the case when you look at a guy like Lance Armstrong, who is pretty much the biggest name as far as
because you know why? Because there's no black and Latins,
you know,
in there. So who else they have to go after?
Well, there are Latins. There are Latins in the sport.
The
there are Latins in the sport. But, you know, there's just certain situations that actually, you know, go beyond that. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not saying you're wrong about what you're saying. Certain situations go beyond that, though.
Cisco is somebody that's a seasoned journalist like you, okay? You know as well as I do. I mean, let's have some real talk here, okay? You know as well as I do that no one can win. I'm not a huge bicyclist enthusiast, but you know that no one can win a grueling sport like the Tour de France 6, 7, 8 years in a damn row without some type of performance. No one guy is going to win that 6, 7, 8 years in a row without some type of performance and enhancers. Being present, okay?
Yeah, they say,
unless you're a Superman, no one guy is going to win that 5 or 6 years in a row, okay? I mean, come and tell it like it is.
Yeah, even winning it one time is hard.
One or two times is still a hard. Remember,
even winning it once, even they say even winning that Tour de France one time is hard.
Yeah.
It's nearly impossible.
I wonder if his name was Larry Johnson from East Harlem, what the question would have been. Gang, we need about 10 minutes here.
Gailey Thompson won the two Olympics back-to-back. They were saying it's a miracle. Nobody wins that one time. That's why Bruce Jenner never didn't want to do it a second time because it was too grueling.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a miraculous athlete to win that particular category in the Olympics back to back. Sure, the Lance Armstrong is a freaking steroid junkie, but then you got to understand he had a lot of surrounding chumps who did what he was doing, and to cover his rear end.
Definitely, they were all in the club. It was great for the sport. It was like baseball. It was like baseball.
Exactly.
No, nobody was talking about these guys when the attendance, after the strike, the attendance records were being shattered. Nobody said nothing about McGuire, nothing about Sammy. I mean, it was Gary Sheffield who said, you know, it's amazing here. You know, here's Roger Clemens cruising along at this advanced age, and nobody remotely has any suspect about he may be doing something wrong. This is all just natural. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? Sheffield
was another
there.
Suspect without any proof. And that was sad. But this is what I'm trying to tell
Sheffield?
You that these guys Sheffield.
And
if Barry Bonds had not been the only speculation on my part, if he had not been walking intentionally all those times, he naturally, in my opinion, you could shoot me down, would have broken that home run record. Remember, Barry Bonds was walked purposely, sometimes two and three times in a freaking game, and that to me was disgusting.
Dusty, they walked Barry Bonds 101 and 2 times a week. When Barry Bonds got to 70 intentional walks, the year he was breaking the record,
that was garbage.
Okay, the 70 intentional walks that Barry Bonds had was more than Willie Mays had the last 10 years of his career.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
I'm Dusty. Okay, just hang with me. I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. It was more than Willie Mays had the last 10 years of his career and more than Hank Aaron had the last 5 years of his career. And they walked him 101. Barry Bonds was walked twice with the bases loaded. Okay.
I saw
was walked.
Yeah.
My man down in Baltimore, Buck, it was a 4-2 game. He went to the mound, told the pitcher, you will walk Barry. You will do this. He said, walk Barry. He walked Barry Bonds. The next guy made out. They won the game 4-3. The next day, the first time up, Barry Bonds hit a home run, and Buck said, gentlemen, I rest my case. Gang, don't anybody move. Just a second, please. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. On Blog Talk Radio, Frankie Beverly and May. There you go. We're not going to play. Before I let you go, I had to say this. And we had to do some NFL. D-Wings are not with us today. He's on assignment. At the same time, under the weather. Frankie Beverly and May, today's open for Marvin Gaye. We talked about some of the quick things here. Took out a little piece after
the conference. I'm going to say good night to the panel now.
Good night,
okay, well, leave us some last thoughts. Yo, we got Hopkins and McLeod fighting this weekend. Who you like, Travis Cloud, Hopkins? Who you like? Because the guys, they spoke about it first. Bernard Hopkins against Cloud. Who do you like in that fight, Lady A?
I can't make a comment on that, Doc, because you know how much I like B-Hop. So.
Come on, A.
You know I'm
okay.
A B-Hop girl. Come on. That's like you saying, oh, who do you like? Cotto or Mayweather? Come on. And you know I'm Puerto Rican, so I'm going to pick Cotto, you know?
Okay,
come on, I can't make a fair assessment on that. Come on.
Okay, now, before you came on, Dusty, Cisco, hey, got no problem with B-Hop fighting. He knows his sport. The guys that they can't fight. And
I got a problem with it, Lady A. That's what Doc's needing to do. I got a problem with it.
Now, Mel says, Mel
says, I got a problem.
He's too old. He shouldn't be fighting.
You're
say,
damn right. He should have retired years ago.
I say, hold on. Okay, hold on. I say two things here. First of all,
Dusty, you're wrong. Doc, you're wrong. Not
for
having your point of view.
Okay,
I'm not wrong.
Lady A, okay. What I'm saying here is that we say, as once again, Cisco, we know what Mel says. He's still saying it. They say, hey, the guys can't fight today. He's not going to get hurt. He knows he can't get hurt. Rooney's saying he's 47 years old. I say, hey, look, it's the best thing he does in life. They're offering him the money. And more importantly, he's looked around and saw that the guys today can't fight. I mean, I understand that the guys are jumping higher and all that kind of stuff, but they can't put the ball in the basket. Your thoughts? You're not going to pick a fight, but should be hot. Let the game go, or you have no problem him continuing to fight as long as he knows he can do well.
I think that Bernard Hopkins is pretty much just kind of conditioning himself to think that, you know, as long as he can stay in the ring and make money, he's going to make the money he's going to make. Unfortunately, the reality is that he's not going to leave the sport until he feels it's on his terms and it's his time.
Yep.
And whether that causes him to leave on a stretcher, you know, or if it causes him to keep winning fights like he beat Kelly Pavlik, you know why? He's going to do what he's going to do. And unfortunately, you know, it's sad, but you know what? He's making the money, and it's going to be what it's going to be. Guys like that do not leave the sport unless it's on their time. So that's my opinion.
He's going to go out on his chill, Lady A.
That's my view.
Can't beat Father Time.
Nobody's ever beaten up Hopkins, and as long as nobody beats him up, he's still going to be
still
in the sport.
So he's
going to
do what he's
going
to do.
Father Time.
Pretty much it.
He's going to show up for his check, and he's going to do it.
But right now, Father Time has said, hey, you got no problem, keep on going. Right now, Father Time hasn't said anything to him.
Because once again, he hasn't met his match like Roy Jones when he got knocked down the time that he did. And you know what? I think that Bernard has kind of got it in his head. There was a time when Bernard was saying, you know what? I'm only going to fight until I'm such and such age, because I told my mother I was going to fight. Right, until this age, and that was it. And now, you know, I don't know what's happened, but I think it's more the fact that he sees what's out there. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to keep boxing.
Here's the question, gang. Lady, are you
even
started?
Even when he fought Chad Dawson,
do you think Bernard has ever used steroids?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think Bernard has. No, I don't think Bernard. I think that Bernard has shown adversity, and I think most guys would look at him and say, hey, listen, this is the kind of guy that even at his age, you know, he's like a freak of nature, but I think that he's always since he left the correctional facility at 16, 17 years old, that he said, you know what, this is what I'm going to prove. This is my point. It is what it is.
He should retire and bow out gracefully, Lady A.
He should retire and bow out gracefully.
Mel, I'm not saying I totally disagree with you, but this is not the kind of guy that's going to do that. You think you're looking at another Van der Holyfield.
He's
going to
wind up going out on his shield, I'm telling you all.
This is going back to Ali. Seeing her side, seeing your side, seeing that. She said, hey, the guy is not going to let it go, which I'm saying. It's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life, and people are going to pay you. She's saying, yeah, he may go out on a stretcher, but she's also saying, as Dusty said and Cisco said, it's his call. It's his call.
Oh, I don't doubt
it's
that
his
it's
life.
His call, Doc. I never said it wasn't his
you know,
call.
I'm
I
not
said
gonna...
I would suggest if it was they had asked me and I was advising him, I would suggest, not tell, not the man, suggest that he has made more money than most people make in their lifetime, more than 10 people have made in their lifetime, that it's better
that
to 20. Leave with your health intact, your money in the bank, and bow out gracefully.
I would say this. You know, I know you asked a question, yeah, had Hopkins ever been on steroids?
Mm-hmm.
And I would never say an athlete has never been on steroids. That I would never say, because athletes have said that. I don't think so either. But athletes have said that, and then we go, oh, wow. You know, we get disappointed, right?
Yeah.
I'm a family man. I love my wife deeply. It's something I would never ever do. Doc Stanley's two kids in Hawaii and one in Germany. What?
Exactly. Four balls and
so,
six
so I always
you know
myself,
what? I'm saying goodnight, Doc. You're crazy.
So,
love you, baby. Thanks. Say
so,
good night, everybody.
Good night.
I will say this, you know, he's never – Hopkins, you know, I don't think he's a freak of nature. I think he's been the same guy that we've been seeing throughout the years. You understand what I'm saying? He's never – he hasn't done nothing spectacular to you.
He stands out and he stands out in this era of boxing.
Yeah, he stands out because of his skill, because of his skill, not because of his physicality. Like, he's not looking like Marquez did against Pacquiao at 39 years old. You know, he's not looking like a phenom all of a sudden. No, he's been the same guy, and we just see a guy here who, because of his craft, he's still in the game because of it. You understand what I'm saying?
But just so you know, boxing is a young man's game. I mean, come on, guys, 40 years old, for goodness sake.
But there are exceptions. There are exceptions.
But you got to think about this.
Doc.
Mel, you got to think about this. As a young man's sport, because back in the days, guys were so good as young men that they would destroy anybody who's past 35 years old.
But
you understand what I'm saying?
I understand that.
But
I'm
today,
saying the guy's been fighting
today,
for, what, 20 years
today,
now? How long has the guy been fighting,
Cisco,
20
Briggs,
years?
Yo, Mel, wasn't Shannon Briggs, didn't Shannon Briggs get his ass kicked at 24 by the old 46-year-old George Foreman in his last
Foreman.
Fight? Huh?
Yeah, but you're
he got his
about
ass
Michael Moore got
at,
knocked out by an old man.
Exactly,
right.
At 45 years old. So the fact of the matter is we're talking about a sport that the skill level has eroded, and guys are able to fight till older ages. And
yeah,
Hopkins
your
is just an
well
example
taken,
of that.
Not all
guys,
but Bernard Hopkins
your
is
your point's well taken, but the guy's still been getting hit in the head for 15 years.
Listen to me. There's more fighters at the age of 40 in boxing today than there's ever been in the sport ever.
Because
you know
of
mean?
The money that's being made.
Either, be
no, because
you,
these guys are able to compete with these young guys and beat them. Come on.
Now, don't get me wrong, Cisco.
Hold
I'm
on,
again.
Hold on. Everybody,
right
give me a minute. Hold on.
I know you want to leave me.
We're not going.
But
we're not,
we're not.
Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network. It's Sports in Depth. The gang's all here. We're going to take a quick, maybe 2 minutes to talk about football, and then we're going to come on back to the panel with an in-depth discussion, one that you got to be learning because they teach every time they do it. It's Doc Nelly, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust in God. They're never Sports and Never Sunday wrap-up. The Knicks lost. Yeah, the winning streak is over. The Miami Heat can keep their 14 games in a row now. And they continue to run outside. Over this is it. Doc Nelly, Sports and Never Blog Talk Radio. Real quickly, some things here about football because the Cincinnati Sea Wings is not with us. He's on location. But not here, and he's having some problems. Just had an article today. Just some of the decision makers for the league's 32 franchises have completed a week of evaluation at the NFL scouting combine and will adjust their draft board. Several prospects elevated their grade with fine performance in Annapolis, while others moved in the opposite direction. Combine complete.
Hey Doc.
Yeah.
I gotta get out of here, man.
You gotta go. Well, Cisco, let's give us a final then. What's your thought? You got Hopkins winning this fight on Saturday.
I believe so. I think Hopkins can win this fight. I think he's better than most of the guys that he's even struggled with. I think Hopkins' IQ is going to be the difference in this fight, and I think he's going to get the L. I think and Tavares Cloud also not I would say as a champion he's not active. He's not active. Nobody knows who Tavares Cloud is because of it, and he hasn't fought in a while. So fighting. I think he hasn't fought in a year. He's going to be a year or just
yes,
about.
Yes, he's the Colombian guy.
Since fighting Campillo.
Yeah, Campillo.
So, not only did he struggle in that fight, and most people felt he lost, but now he's fighting another, a guy who's considered a legend in the sport in Bernard Hopkins, who actually, even though Hopkins lost against Chad Dawson, that was a fight that you could contest that he won that second fight.
It was also a very competitive fight. Your thoughts when you leave, Alvarez pulled out of the undercard of the Mayweather fight.
Yeah,
he's
going to
fight
Trout.
Like you said, it's going to be a tough fight. It's not going to be an easy fight for him. But the thing is, Alvarez was upset that Mayweather would not sign a contract to fight him now. And Mayweather simply said, hold on, I can't do that. I'm focusing on fighting this guy. I mean, I got to take care of this guy first. I got to stay focused. And I can't show no disrespect to this guy. How am I going to sign a contract to fight you after I fight this guy? I haven't fought that guy.
In defense of Alvarez, Alvarez was just trying to make that fight win or lose. If he lost against Trout or he won against Trout. It was not like, you know, I understand that, he, you know, Mayweather shouldn't be looking at you know, past Guerrero. But,
even he probably
but
is.
Still, but right, but still, you know, just that's the biggest fight that Floyd Mayweather has right now. This actually, this situation can turn out to be another Pacquiao Mayweather situation. You know what I mean? Because honestly, what other bigger name he has to, you know, to really make a big pay per view fight? You know, I think, you know,
well,
but
if he loses
a contract,
Trout, who cares?
He signed a contract with Showtime for what, 6 fights in 30 months? Why not solidify the fight with this kid? You know what I mean? Win or lose, I still get to fight him. So, you know, so
not
what?
I wouldn't sign a win or lose contract like that. If you win the fight, but win or lose, no, I wouldn't sign it either. I don't blame him.
Why not? Win or lose.
I wouldn't sign
if he
it.
Loses
absolutely
against
not.
The guy, he's still
not
got a big
lose.
Payday against the kid.
I understand that.
Hold on. Back up. Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why you got to say what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, because you're saying that Alvarez was up. He wanted him to sign a contract. Win or lose, he would fight him next.
Win or lose, if Alvarez lost against Trout or won against Trout, there'll be that big pay.
Okay. So Alvarez wanted him to sign a contract that no matter what he did against Trout, he would fight
Mayweather.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you see that those are
why
things
not?
That
why not? Why not? I mean, my thing is with Floyd is that have you seen the list that Floyd Mayweather has? His list that he has.
I understand
the
six
that. Fighters
but
he has on
but
his
my
list.
My point before you go. My point
you know,
before
he
you
has
go,
Danny
Cisco,
Garcia.
Is,
he
but
has
my point before you go, Cisco, is if he signs that win or lose, regardless of what he does against Trout, my only point is that if he loses that fight loses some of its luster.
It doesn't matter what bigger name does Floyd Mayweather have besides
Alvarez,
no one else.
Even
if it does lose its luster, he's a Mexican star, and they have it. They'll make it in September in some Mexican holiday.
In the words of Rooney, is well taken because reality of it, more people. Even if Trout would beat Alvarez, more people still want to see Mayweather than Alvarez than they don't want to see Mayweather.
Exactly. And the point is,
of course they want to see more people than they want to see him fight. You know, than
what
Trout.
You don't understand
but,
is,
but the thing
nope.
is, the thing what you saying, Cisco, is why Alvarez wanted this because if he lost, like you said, the list that Mayweather has is so long that he may not get back on the list.
Exactly. The fact of the matter is, if you see the guys that are on that list, you'll be like, are you kidding me, dude?
Right. The guys that are on this list?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Floyd Mayweather pretty much signed a contract to fight anybody for a huge deal. Exactly. So
for
the only papers. Dance partner that he has on that list is Alvarez.
Exactly.
He even has Danny Garcia on that list, man.
About 40 pounds.
I mean, are you kidding me? You know?
But you see, but to me,
Cisco, did you see my name?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you're gonna carry the fucking.
No, they spelled it backwards. But yeah, you on that list.
But you see, the problem, the.
Well, you remember, Doc? You remember Richard Hall? Remember we spoke to him? I think it was the. On the Berto, Berto was having a press conference or whatever. He was there. Richard Hall,
come on.
Seven
Berto
fights,
Ortiz.
And he fights Roy Jones for the title? I mean,
Berto
same
Ortiz.
Thing.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is that it makes sense to make these signings because it was done many years ago. The guy was fighting John Doe, and then 6 months or 4 months from then, he was going to fight Jane Doe. And it was, there was all
that was Roy
conference.
Jones. That was
and,
Roy Jones. And no, that's the same thing that Floyd Mayweather is doing with Showtime.
So he's picking up the bodies. I don't know why Alvarez is angry at that because other than they're making a pretty good money. You know,
he's angry. You know why he's angry? Look, he's angry because, think about this, right? May 4th, right? You have two of the biggest names in boxing, right?
Yeah.
Fighting on the same undercard. You build that next fight up. You have both of these guys on the same card. They both win, let's suppose. You understand what I'm saying? And you make that big.
Well, here's
the
question.
Rooney, this was done many years ago.
With that in mind, with the win or lose thought, Rooney, is he having some second thoughts about fighting Trout?
Well, that's a possibility, Doc. But my question to Cisco would be, not to evade your question, but my question to Cisco would be, if he loses, if Alvarez loses convincingly to Trout, then why do I want to see him fight Mayweather Jr. then? Well, where's the luster at? Why do I want to see that fight?
It's the Mexican...
Because he's Mexican and he's a superstar.
If he loses convincingly to Trout, that fight loses its luster, and it's nowhere bigger than you guys think it's going to be. Can I say something?
Larry Merchant says something that resonated in my ear when he said it. When Shane Mosley, not Shane Mosley, when Vernon Forrest beat Shane Mosley, right? He said, "Oh, I beat Shane Mosley. This and that." And Larry Merchant said, "If you beat Tiger Woods, it doesn't make you Tiger Woods." You understand what I'm saying? And that's the thing about it is that if Trout beats Alvarez, it's not gonna. It hasn't made him beating Cotto hasn't made him a superstar. You understand what I'm saying? So him beating Alvarez is probably not going to make him that superstar either.
Well, not that it's going to make him a superstar, but why do I want to see him fight Mayweather Jr.?
Rooney, but the point he's making is you may not want to see it, but there are a lot of people who still
want
to see it.
My point is that I don't think they do the pay-per-view numbers that they're looking for if he loses the Trout. That's my simple point. They're not going to do the same numbers.
They might not, but they still will make big numbers. You understand what I'm saying? That's the point.
He'll still make more against a losing Alvarez than he would against a winning Trout.
Well, if that's the case, then
why not skip Trout altogether then? If that's the case, why fight him to begin with?
Alvarez wanted Mayweather on May 4th, but Mayweather didn't want Alvarez. He chose Guerrero. You understand what I'm saying? That's the problem here.
Your point is well taken, but my point is, if I was Mayweather, I wouldn't sign that contract either.
We got the understanding of the contract thing, but the thing that's coming up here now is we kind of understand Alvarez's mind frame, and at the other end, you make a good point. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is why these guys are the greatest. If you listen here, you learn. Okay, the reason why you don't have Alvarez and Mayweather May 4th because Mayweather wouldn't sign the fight. So that question.
If I was advising him, I'd advise him not to sign it either.
But my question too, I wonder why Mayweather didn't fight Alvarez May 4th instead of fighting the Ghost.
Why does Mayweather need a tune-up?
Mayweather always grabs a tune-up when he's gone for a long time.
But that's not nobody's fault.
In his first retirement, he did it in the second retirement. He took a dude that he knew that he had a good chance of beating.
He picked the ghost
because he needs a tune-up before he handles an Alvarez. That's why I don't blame him for not signing. Let me finish now.
Let me tell you something. Floyd Mayweather needing a tune-up. The best fighter in the world. The guy who's supposed to be the greatest fighter in the world right now,
this guy is taking a tune-up.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you straight out. What person does not have a tune-up? He has a tune-up.
You have a tune-up. Listen to me. Fighters usually have a tune-up, right? When they have a retirement. But Floyd didn't retire.
When they're moving up weight, right?
They go up one weight class, they have a tune-up bout to see how they perform, and then they have that big money fight, right? But Mayweather's been on top of the game for a long time.
So for him to be having a tune-up,
are you kidding me? And then he gets an excuse for that? Come on.
No, He is using a tune-up like he did with Marquez, he did with Victor Ortiz, to get ready for whomever he was going to fight.
Every fight is a tune-up.
as far as Mayweather is concerned, every fight is a tune-up because he goes away and disappears. Now, if he didn't fight, I can guarantee you, if he didn't have the ghost who he proposed to fight on May 5th of last year, if he didn't have the ghost, he would not be fighting the ghost now. He would have gotten rid of the ghost. He would have found some other dude who will sign the contract for maybe extra money that they've been making before, and that would have been it. Miguel Cotto was a second or third choice, when he fought him last year. And now the man is not going to jump into the lion's den and fight an animal like Alvarez before he gets a tune-up. And I'm telling you, that's the way it works. He is one guy who says, uh-uh. He got a shopping list, guaranteed. If he had Danny Garcia there, he probably has Danny Perez, a featherweight. Or I
don't mind seeing that with Danny either. That Danny fight would be pretty good.
I'm telling you, he has a list of shopping blocks that he is going to fight.
Aaron made fun of him. Aaron said that he's going to fight Iván Calderón.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that when Cotto beat Shane Mosley, and it was a perfect match. Cotto and Mayweather turned him down. So what I'm trying to tell you is that he always needs a tune-up and to get his mojo working.
I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason why he didn't fight Pacquiao. There's a reason why he didn't sign the contract at Alvarez. There's a reason why he's picking and choosing opponents. This guy just knows that he can make money off of fighting nobodies.
Exactly.
And he's been getting away with it.
I agree with you,
Cisco.
I agree.
I just finished telling you guys that last year he made $85 million.
Exactly. And that's going to motivate him more not to fight anybody.
Right. And poor Manny Pacquiao, the poor guy got only 65. So this is what I mean?
Why should I risk my life when I could fight this guy and maybe crack a nail or something like that? Get my lip busted, but at least I walk away with my wits and I'll make $50, $60, $70 million.
Exactly. Great point, Cisco.
Did Mayweather ever fight Clary? No. Margarito? No. Pacquiao? Of course, no. He took the lesser of the five evils and he fought a burnt out Miguel Cotto.
No, and that was a good fight. Well, hold on. You know what? I got to get in here quick. Well, there's a reason why he didn't fight those guys. Everybody you named was a top-ranked fighter, and Bob Arum was not going to allow those fights to happen. And he got Cotto only after Cotto left top rank. So let's not forget that. Real quickly, gentlemen, Major League Soccer started today. Red Bulls, a 3-3 tie against Portland, opening their season. Looking at the most career MLS goals, Jeff Cunningham has 365 games, 134 goals. Jamie Moreno, 133 goals, 340 games. London Donovan, the finest American football player, we call soccer, in 281 games, has 124 goals. Ante Rozier has 114, and Jason Kreis has 108. There's some talk about, with the loss of Beckham, how the game maybe somewhat suffer. At the same time, a salute and thanks to him for what he did to help with the growth of Major League Soccer. And that was one question they had, a big story. Can Major League MLS find its footing in the post-Beckham era? And Donovan's off the radar. I think this may be Donovan's last season here, too. I don't know. There's some talk about that happening, but we'll find out. But he ranks number 3 among the all-time MLS goals, 124 and 281 games, and he's considered by many to be the best football player in the USA. Real quickly, let me do some football stuff. We talked about the combine. Let me get to that real quick and give you those little stats. It's just something that I was looking at. And I thought it was kind of quite interesting what they're doing, the synopsis, who they were picking, who they were thinking were going to be picked up and drafted. As you knew, some guys had done well, some guys hadn't. And real quickly, let me run this, and then we get back. We'll have still another good 10 minutes here for Rooney, and then go back and forth. Kansas City Chiefs, they're looking at tackle Luke Jackal from Texas A&M. Jacksonville Jaguars, defensive end Jabon Warner. The Oakland Raiders, defensive tackle Star Latulala. That's her name. Eagles, outside linebacker Darren Jordan. The Detroit Lions, cornerback D. Miller from Alabama. The Cleveland Browns, Barkevis Mingo from LSU. Arizona Cardinals, Eric Fisher from Central Michigan. The Buffalo Bills, Gene Smith from West Virginia. The Jets, wow, they were talking about Chance Womack from Alabama. The Tennessee Titans, defensive end Ezekiel Agnash from Brigham Young. The San Diego Chargers, Old Demore Ma from Texas A&M. The Dolphins, Sharif Floyd, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Sheldon Richardson. Some of the names. The Vikings are looking at a wide receiver because, you know, they're having some problems signing their receiver. So Keenan Allen from California is sort of on their radar. The St. Louis Rams are looking at a wide receiver, Tyron Austin. The Bears, Jonathan Hawkins, but he's Ohio State. That's sort of like a territorial draft move. So let me see what they did. Okay, the Giants were solely looking at tackle Lane Johnson from Oklahoma. So those are the two teams here. And we're going to get our Steelers, Kenny Vaccaro from Texas. Just some of the projected players. We don't know how much is going to be on key. The Packers, Eddie Lacy from Alabama. And the Ravens, who won the Super Bowl, are looking at inside linebacker Manti Te'o. That's the same guy that supposedly the Giants have some mentors out of Notre Dame. I would say Te'o's a terrific run defender who plays with the Ravens-like intensity. So that's something to watch. Interesting. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth. Block Talk Radio and Trust and Guard Radio Network. And I got the Cisco Kid, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., and Dusty Lois, H-Rap Brown here. And a good 2 minutes left on the show. Cisco, you going to leave us or are you going
to
stay for
Yeah, I'm about to go, but I wanted to say one thing. You were talking about soccer and stuff. What do you think about this guy, Lionel Messi, being called the greatest soccer player of all time?
Did you read
the
home? Yeah, that's hard.
Cisco, you know what? You can go now. If you want
to. No, I'm not saying he is.
I remember reading an article, and it said the reason why Pelé was the greatest footballer of all time, besides the fact he had the greatest goals of all time, most goals, is that he played in the era when the best players were from Brazil, and he was the best player in Brazil, and Brazil dominated the sport. And one guy said he had the ability to play every – I remember the baseball announcer for the Dodgers. His name escaped. Why the heck is his name escaping me, man? And he told me that Willie Mays could have been great at any position he played. And Willie could have played any position. And as I say, he could have played any position. And, you know, but you see, once again, I'll never forget 1997 All-Star game. And a reporter asked Oscar Robertson, you know, what was his thoughts on the fact that today's basketball players are not cognizant of guys who came before them. I may be redundant. Oscar said, hold on, stop that. It's not basketball players. He said, it's in vogue today in society across the board, whether they're doctors, lawyers, cab drivers, baseball players, architects, or dentists. Nobody today is cognizant of the historians and the pioneers who went before. And this is the thing. And in Brazil, if Messi comes to town, they'll probably kill him. Nobody will ever play the game better than Pelé. Destino had gave me a book some years ago to read about football players, and when it came to Pelé, it simply said, simply the best. And Messi's
yeah.
a great, great player.
Hey, Doc.
Nobody. Yeah.
Well,
Doc, hey, Cisco, before you go, let me just
relay this quick
story. The New York Cosmos, I believe, had signed Pelé when they were trying to start off the big
Major League soccer
league here
mm-hmm.
in the
mm-hmm.
States. And I believe Pelé, you know, past his prime, but he was still better than every damn body else, even though he was way past his prime. And I remember the guy who was supposed to be, Doc, correct me if I'm wrong, the best or one of the best from over here, Giorgio Canaglia, was playing with Pelé one day. And the guy, they just saw him on the field, and he was just staring with his mouth open. They asked him later, and he's like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The things that Pelé was doing, I just couldn't believe what I was standing on the field watching. At that age, having been, you know, in the league and has been as great as he was, and looking at him even now at this advanced age, my mouth was open. I couldn't believe what I just saw. That's how great Pelé was. Like, so like Doc said, that doesn't even deserve further comment, okay? Let's not see that.
It kind of reminds me of Bernard Hopkins.
hey, let me tell you something about you know something? I hope we're not having this discussion, Cisco, Dusty, Doc, when the guy's like 50 years old. I hope we're not still having this discussion about Sid Bernard.
I'm gonna say this before I go, man. Sylvester Stallone, I think, used him for a movie or something like that. I know I read this somewhere. And he said that Pelé kicked the ball so hard he tried to block it, and he broke his finger. Pelé was a beast, you know. So yeah, you know, I don't know much about soccer. I'm not a huge soccer dude, you know what I mean, or whatever. But I, you know, Pelé, you know, I know him to being the greatest, you know, player. But
he's when I say guys, he's the Willie Mays of that sport. And what happens today is
that most of these guys today, you know, like Floyd Mayweather or like, you know, Messi or like, you know, some of these other guys, they start naming these guys as the greatest. When I'm like, don't you guys know history? Like, it's
what we talked about 2 weeks ago,
Abe
Michael
Lincoln
Jordan's birthday. And I said, you know what? Michael's a great, great player. But they act like Michael Jordan's the only guy that ever played basketball.
Exactly.
Like
there wasn't
Robinson, no Will Chamberlain, no Bill Russell, no Dr. J.
Nobody.
They act like Michael Jordan is the only guy to. And I say, you know, Michael was a great, but Michael would not have been jumping over Willis Reed, Nate Thurman, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wesley Unseld the way he did in his era. Doesn't take no way.
Hey, Doc.
He's too,
Doc,
that's because Shaq was
an
honorable guy.
Can I ask one quick question, Doc?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Cisco, before
yeah,
let me ask you this. And, Doc, you and Ducky the same question. Hey, Cisco, would you be in favor, man, if you were one of the commissioners or one of the powers that be? Would you be in favor of a mandatory retirement age for boxers at all?
No.
What? Say that again. What's the question?
No. Would you be in favor if you were one of the powers that be on some commission? Would you be in favor of a mandatory retirement age for fighters?
No. I would be in favor of fighters' faculties, definitely.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Fighters being able to perform, speak,
exactly,
and stuff like that, you know.
Which means that a guy at 33 could be told you can't do it no more. A guy at 27 could be told you can't do it no more.
Exactly,
but a guy at 38,
exactly.
Well, let me ask you something, Doc. What if the guy is 50 and passes all your tests? Would you be in favor of letting him fight?
Of course.
Hey, if his faculties are intact and his mind is sharp and he's able to perform, why not? Anybody should be given a chance.
Yeah. Would you like
that you're 50 years old and you're saying, "Yo, man, you know, I'm still performing in my sport or whatever," and some guy says, "No, because you're 50? No,
you
wouldn't like that. You wouldn't like that."
Dusty's 102 years old. We still let him on the show.
Right.
Let me let you guys go, man. Yeah, you guys have a good night, man.
Okay, thanks, Cisco.
Good night, Doc.
Yeah.
Later.
Okay.
But did you guys
He's riding off. Hold on, gang. He's riding off. Let him ride off. Let him go. Here he is. This area. The Cisco Kid. He got to go, too. He'll be back next week. The Cisco Kid. He's a friend of ours. And he always brings some 95 wine. Go ahead, Jeff.
Do you guys remember a young heavyweight, and they call him the Great White Hope, Joe Messi?
Of course.
And he was winning fights.
Had night problems. Of course, yeah.
And all of a sudden, they found blood in his
head problem. Sorry, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
No, not hand problem. Blood in his brain.
Yeah, I said head.
He just said head.
And they did find that with Joe Messi. He was an up-and-coming heavyweight.
They took away his license and sent him to the doctors
and
all that.
And I agree.
The doctors, wait a minute. And the doctors, the commission suspended and took his license. He went to Puerto Rico. And I don't know what happened over there. The flimsy doctors and commissions gave him back his license. And he fought one more time. And then maybe people were able to reason with him. Once you found blood in your brains, you're finished. So you haven't seen him since. He was retired. But then you have another case before that. Evander Holyfield, that they found his heart rhythms or one of his valves.
He went to that clinic and all
that,
yeah.
And they took away, and he blamed.
Look at Pat Ganza. He had the car accident. All that sort of stuff, and he comes back to fight.
Who was that?
I remember that. I remember the guy.
Yeah, Pat Ganza.
That halo on him.
Yeah.
Right, but so this is where, yes, you got to say, hey, this is where the commission, I guess, you know, sure, or they did step in and say no, but then they get Holyfield got a green light after, I don't know, it was some exam or something.
He went to the Mayo Clinic or something.
DK took him through all those tests and everything to fight Tyson.
But the fact is that is very difficult. Let me tell you a little story. Too bad the others left. In the corporate world, Wall Street, you say about retiring, you made enough money.
Hold on, Dusty. Hold on. Okay, Rooney, bring us out. Mike on lights up real quick.
The Sports and Depth Nation's been here. The Sports and Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here.
We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink has been here. And that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. And Rooney, quickly, mic on, lights out.
We now return with Sports in Depth Extra. Mic's on, lights off, and the incomparable Doc Stanley with indeed the panel.
Thank
gentlemen,
you, Rooney. Okay, and with that, Dusty, go ahead and continue.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah, Dusty.
Oh, yeah. In the corporate world, this is amazing how much money, when you ask how much is enough money, there never really is enough money. During this Occupy Wall Street and before that, when President Obama started to clean all that corruption and gouging and hoggishness, this guy, one of the hedge fund, one of the biggest money making things that went into a downslide and all that, and all the big wigs were taking getting their salaries and retiring and all that. The head of the, to make a long story short, the head of the hedge fund was told to retire to risk because his salary was almost in the 500 millions annually and all that, but he still had years to go on his contract. And this is what, I won't go until you buy me off. You pay me what I want. Okay, to make a long story short, the freaking guy was paid $2.5 billion. And he was already a billionaire. So how much money is enough money? This guy wanted his just due. And he said, well, you know,
yes,
you already have.
From my point of
view, see,
from
see,
my point
you,
would
wait,
be
wait,
the
wait,
guy that gets
wait, 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 let me finish. This guy had already a stroke. And he was in his 70s. I said, well, I'll go. I said, but he had to buy him off. So, and with all the billions he made before, how much money is enough money? So this is what I'm trying to tell you. If I were to tell Bernard Hopkins, I'm worried about you. You're 48. He has the right to tell me to mind my business. I feel fine. But I assume he would appreciate my concern. But then his ego would step in. I can beat these guys. But if you tell him, well, you know, you made enough money. How much is enough money? You ask yourselves personally at home, how much is enough money to live by? There isn't a set amount. You still want money. You still want to live better. You still want to
That
more.
Great line from Joe Frazier, once you make a million, you can find
that's
out
right.
something to do with another million.
You find
mm-hmm.
something else to do with a freaking million. And mm-hmm. the fact of the matter is that this is how these people. Donald Trump is worth $4 billion. Our mayor, or your mayor, came in to the mayor's office already $2.3 billion. You know how much he's worth now?
Yeah, 30 now.
$32 billion. One of the
you're
richest.
You're not surprised,
men.
Sure. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. You're right.
So and are you going to start?
And that shows
tell,
what
well,
he's
look,
been
mayor,
concentrating on since he's
yeah,
been
mayor. Look, mayor, you made enough money. You're mayor. Okay, it's time to get out.
You see what he did? He put himself in. For a third term. So that's another gentlemen.
He's
yeah,
looking
we
for a third term. So, yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. But anyway, that's my swan song. But,
okay, gang,
but
we'll be back during the week because we're going to do
you're
a promo.
You're talking
also,
about the most brutal of all professional sports.
Right, Rooney, we agree with you. This Tuesday, Brown Hopkins and Clyde will be at the legendary Gleason Gym in Brooklyn. They'll be training tomorrow, PNP tennis press conference at the Essex House. The number one, oldest female ever to obtain the number one ranking in female tennis history, the legendary Serena Williams, and we'll also have a couple of other stars there. Stan Smith, former tennis great, will be there, and the man, Spaniard, who is Nadal, he will also be tomorrow. They'll be playing at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. Larry Torres, I want to thank you a million. Rooney, close us out, and then Dusty will tell us in Spanish, and then we're going to roll. Rooney, in English.
That will conclude this edition of Sports in Depth Extra. Mic's on, lights off. We'd like to thank the Sports in Depth Nation, the Sports in Depth panel, the great Doc Stanley, and the Trust in God, the radio network. Take it away, the doctor.
Thank you, Rooney. And with that, let Larry Hardesty tell us something, and then we're going to come to Dusty in Espanol. Larry.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
And I leave you with three thoughts, and then Dusty will talk to you in Espanol. Live your life today as if you had to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is rent you pay for your room here on earth. And I remember that one tonight, a little doctorism. I think we ought to kind of realize in society, you know, that death happens every day, but it doesn't affect us until it comes our way. From the bottom of my heart, Doc Sally, God bless you all and trust in God. And now, for the Latin-speaking audience, there's mainly Enrique and Consuela over there at the bodega that Dusty goes to. Tell them goodnight in Espanol, please, Dusty.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Buenas noches, everybody. Sports in depth, deporte intenso. And we shall be back. Regresamos en una semana. Así que cuídense y buenas noches. God bless.
And now, Marvin Gaye will have the last word.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live. The children, oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares?
Who?
I've been away so long. But now, baby, there is that moon. I've done and said it all. It all means a thing. But now I know that home is a woman to call my very own. That's what I'm saying, crying over me. 'Cause this time, baby, I won't leave. There is no place left for me to roam. I just had to know what there was to be. Now I know that was foolish of me. 'Cause when you've got someone who waits for you while you're gone, you should try to hold on to that. You should try to hold on to that. You should try. Thank you. pray, dear Lord, heal my.